Hello, and welcome to Endeavors. On today's show, dancer Roberto Soria on Resonance. That's coming up on today's show. Indecision keeps me up now. Need another place to mind. Give a little bit of God to sin. Keeping safe is keeping you away. Dance. For many longtime listeners of both the podcast and its earlier incarnation as a radio show, people know I like dance. I took and studied dance as a kid, hip hop, ballet, jazz, funk. And my mom was a professional dancer. She both studied and taught at the National Ballet School. So I always enjoy when I get to speak with dancers, both classical and contemporary. On today's show, I have dancer Roberto Soria. And he's taking part in a dance piece called Resonance, which is being put on by Human Body Expression. And it explores the quiet strength and peaceful resolution using a compelling hybrid of contemporary dance and rock music. It's directed and choreographed by the company's award-winning artistic director, Hannah Keel, and featuring original music composed by Dora-nominated Greg Harrison. And it was inspired by the successful public protests demanding the impeachment of former South Korean President Park Geun-hye. The other artists involved in the piece include Connor Mitten, who I had on the show last year, Eleanor Van Veen, Jake Palotz, Jake Ramos, J.T. Papandreos, Loni Garnons-Williams, Martha Hart, Morgan Aronik-Shell, Peter Kelly, Sarah McDonald, and Jakira Delco. Roberto also happens to be involved with a piece by Toronto Dance Theatre, which is taking part, called GH 5.0, also by Hannah Keel, as part of the Fall for Dance North Festival. And it just so happens that Roberto's roommate, Devin Snell, is also a dancer in that, and Devin's interview will be airing on Sunday as part of the podcast. And then the last 5 or 6 minutes of this episode will feature the two of them together as sort of a nice bridge from one to another. But Roberto is originally from Ottawa and graduated from the Toronto School of Toronto Dance Theatre while also working with the company as a dance intern. During his time at the school, he had the opportunity to work with some incredible artists, including Sharon B. Moore, Ted Robinson, Julia Sasso, Ofilo Sinbadino, Daryl C. Tracy, and many more. He recently attended the B12 Workshop Festival that took place in Berlin. There he researched with many international artists and performed a new creation by Johannes Dweiland. He has been developing his interest in creating his own work and was very happy to present his work at the New Blue Festival in 2018. Soria is very excited to continue his journey with the Toronto Dance Theatre as a junior company member. This is my conversation with Roberto Soria.
Roberto Soria, hello. How are you today?
I'm good. How about you?
Pretty good. A little tired, but you know.
Same.
I bet you are too. What's it like? You're you're rehearsing for two shows. You've got GH 5.0 as part of the Fall for Natural Notes Festival, and yep. you're also in Resonance. And they're both by the same choreographer too. How do you find going back and forth between the two rehearsals?
It's really interesting, honestly. And it's nice though, because it was only the past week and the week that's going to come up. So the process that we are at in Resonance is more of refining and running the show from top to bottom, which is exhausting, but the whole like crafting and putting it together and that kind of work where your brain is really gets really mentally exhausted from just figuring out what the piece and the structure is like, that was the weeks when I was fully just with Resonance. So it's nice that when I started with TDT, I don't have to worry about crafting two separate pieces that also have similarities and things that are similar and not similar but still in the same world kind of at the same time. So it's nice that like I was able to craft one and then now start running it, and at that time start crafting this new piece.
Yeah. And you're working with Hannah Keel, the choreographer, on both pieces.
Yes.
So does that just make the process and the transition a little bit easier, the fact that you already sort of have this relationship with her?
I think so, absolutely. And, like, me and Hannah, like, we've worked together for, like, a couple of times now. I think this is, like, my fifth time working with her in a process. And so it's super, that's also super nice, because, like, I get the way she works now in a way, like, and a better understanding, so I know what she likes, I know what she doesn't like. Also, she does surprise me at all the times, which is always good, but it's, like, I get an understanding of the way she runs a rehearsal and kind of works right now, so it's very nice to have that both at the same time, because it's completely... It's like weird. It's like different. It's so different, especially since one is a commissioned work with TDT and another one is her own show. So it's interesting to see that difference and like the stuff that she can do on her own show and then like the stuff that she does when it's a more of a commission kind of thing.
On that note then, do you find that the process for the two shows is different, or because it's the same choreographer, it's just sort of tweaks to the same thing?
I would say completely pretty different because of, again, different similarities though, because I guess both they're kind of there's hints that are considered remounts, because we're due GH 5.0 is something we did 2 years ago, and parts of Resonance is this thing from this piece called Welcome to Our Home, Tangled, which we did, I think, also around 2 years ago in the Dance Made Canada Festival. So it's interesting to see the similarities of how we had to bring these pieces back to life. But in one, it's purely bringing a piece back to life, and the other, with Resonance, it's bringing a piece back to life while layering it and exploring it and kind of recrafting it in a whole new way that, like, I've not actually ever worked with Hannah in that way, with, like, live music and a bunch of dancers in this new venue.
Right.
Yeah, so it's really, it's, like, interesting to see that, how, like, there's one where I'm more used to, where it's just, it's a remount, and we work on it, and we bring it back to life, but then there's the other thing with Hannah, where it's a remount, but then we're also adding so much more layers, and taking it apart, and getting a whole new, like, description and definition of what this new piece is.
What's it been like for you as an artist, you know, having been with these pieces for upwards of 2 years?
Oh yeah, it's super interesting, because you look, usually when we relearn, we watch a video from the shows that we did, and you just see, like, the difference in your body, in your movement, in, like, choices that you made back then. So it's nice to really bring it back and kind of rediscover what you were thinking at that moment, but also adding to it with who you are now with this 2 years of experience, which is, like, when I think about it, is, like, a lot of time that happened and a lot of things happened to me during those 2 years. So it's nice to bring all that experience to something that I was already very proud of and then see now where it's going. Like, not seeing it as, like, I'm just going to copy it and be the person I was back then, but I'm going to, like, take who I was then and add what I am now and elevate it into a different world, almost.
You know, as an artist, we always learn something new in each person, in each time we go through the piece, but, you know, both as yourself as a performer and just with this piece, what did you relearn or re-examine about the pieces after, you know, taking your year off, let's say, and then coming back to it?
I think it's just the clarity of, for one, just pure movement. I feel right now like I have a better awareness of my, like, body and the way I move and the way I want to move. So to have this kind of new awareness really brings a whole new enlightenment into what the movement is, into what the piece is, and also helps me develop more of, like, context for what maybe I was moving. Back then I was, like, really into just, like, doing the moves and, like, moving for the sake of moving, and now it's that's still there. I love to move, and I love to, that's why I love Hannah's work, because you get to really be yourself as a mover in her vision. But now I can also have, like, a better awareness of maybe what my movement actually can mean for the piece, besides just being a phrase of pure movement.
The first three words in the press release for Resonance are human body experience. And, you know, more than just a performance, how can, you know, a piece of art, you know, especially a lot, you know, live theater, live dance, whatever, how can it be, where's the, you know, I guess the transition between from performance to making it an experience?
As a performer or an audience member or both or overall?
I mean, I guess, I mean, you've been both, obviously. Like, as a performer, do you know when you sort of hit that stride? And as an artist and audience member, is there something that you look for to take it to that next level?
Yeah, as a performer, to really, for me, to gain that experience is to always go into the rehearsal / performance with a very unknown kind of state. And I feel that's where the experience comes, because if you go into your performance already with an expectation and a really clear set idea of how you're going to do each movement and maybe, like, how you're going to see the work, it kind of, I think, can close a door on an experience that you can really feel. So for me, it's really, like, engaging that performance with my whole, with, like, my awareness of the right there, right then, seeing who I'm seeing, my fellow dancers, seeing them in different ways because they're different from what they were the day before and maybe even the minute before, and their choices are always different and my choices are always different. And I find that is where I really find the experience in performance, where you can take something that you know but completely rediscover it each kind of time that you do it, and feel something different with the people that you're experiencing with. Either if it's just, like, you see someone in a different time of the piece and that just, like, makes you feel a certain way, or do you literally, like, see something, or you feel your movement in a deeper way that change, and then you add a new kind of texture or element. I find that really is what sparks the experience for me. And again, as an audience member, that's what really speaks to me when I see a performer who's experiencing what they're doing the same time we're experiencing it. And I find that's a really beautiful blend for me, when it's like, yes, you are watching me, but you're not there just going to watch me do my thing. You are going to purely experience what's going to happen. And again, when you open that up, I think it leads for beautiful outcomes of what people can interpret the pieces of art to be, because it's an own experience, and people can come and say something, and maybe you, as a performer, you're like, oh, I wasn't thinking that at all, but thank you for telling me about that, because that is like something that I wasn't thinking of, and now it's interesting to hear that, and just hearing that different expressions of what your work can be is really sweet.
You know, the press release describes Resonance as a peaceful protest, because obviously I know they were inspired by what happened in South Korea a few years ago, but the idea of art and theater and dance as a protest, whether it's whether it's against a political movement, like, you know, we saw sort of with Pussy Riot that happened in Russia, or, you know, against something more specific or something more broad.
Mm-hmm.
What appeals to you as a performer to use this meme as a way of, you know, dismantling something or trying to change something about the world, if you will?
Yeah. I think art in general just has an interesting power, because it's something that can't, I think if it's done very well and true to who the person creating it is, it can't be touched in a way. Obviously there's influences and there's things that happen, but I think if an artist stays really true to what they want to do without fear of judgment or stirring about pot or anything, then it's purely a beautiful thing that's just like can change something, because it's so unique, an idea, what they believe in. And again, like I was saying, it's an idea that people can see and experience and grow on it in their own way, and they take it home with them and they think about it, and then it raises questions in their mind that then maybe they want to it just opens up doors to conversations of what is happening in the world, and maybe stuff that they want to change or not change. Or maybe sometimes it's a thing where they completely get offended by what they see, which opens a whole other kind of thing of conversations of why they were offended and why it was this, why it made them feel that way. But again, it's like a really interesting thing, because it's something you experience, and if you don't like it and you do like it, it starts these chats and these conversations, which not unconsciously, but sometimes already just changes the environment by opening up a different mindset and aspect of conversation. And again, also bringing you together with maybe people you've never met before who are experiencing this show. And I think there's a beautiful thing that, like, even if you don't know the people and even if you don't talk to them at the show, you still have this experience with that person that you experience through these artists.
You know, given that dance is a largely silent medium for the most part, you know, unless you're doing like a, you know, ballet, Romeo and Juliet or something, and it has a lot, and therefore the movements are heightened, does that make the message or the story, whether it's political or not, that much more powerful? Because there is no words generally to help get the message across.
Can you repeat the question one more time?
Yeah, it's just like, because there's no vocalization for the most part in dance, you know, it's largely movements and music. Yeah. And so with all of the movements heightened because everything's very specific, does that make, you know, whatever story you're trying to tell or whatever message you're trying to get across, whether it's political or not, that much more powerful because it's silent, and therefore people really have to pay attention and focus on what's happening because there are no words for them to distract, I guess.
Yeah. I think movement has a really interesting way of communicating, and again, being a dancer, your whole practice is heightening the way you move and experiencing different ways you move. And so it's kind of like this weird unspoken language that gets developed. And I've watched shows where like it can be very physical or it can be very subtle, but it's still really like you can feel movement off somebody, and especially if there's music and if there's like a bunch of dancers, or sometimes if there's one who's just really powerful, you like their movement can move you physically or even just like emotionally. And so I find that getting in touch with that whole new way of communicating non-verbally is very interesting, because it's kind of it's something you don't ever really do. You never really go into a room with someone and just like move and conversate that way. So it's always like vocalization, because vocalization can be very clear. Like you can talk and then you can get your point across. But I think going to a show and seeing just someone move for like an hour has a really interesting way of moving you, in maybe a way I don't know how to explain right now, but like I think it totally is a thing that people aren't used to, so it's something that can definitely happen and enhance your communication.
Given that this piece is so personal to Hannah, you know, being that she's South Korean, does that Do you put more pressure on yourself because you really want to do her vision justice? I mean, yes, you always want to do somebody's vision justice, but there is such a personal touch in this for her that maybe that pressure is heightened in a certain way.
I did feel at moments not like she said anything, but I did feel a pressure just because I know the amount of work she's putting in to this performance personally for herself. I feel like she's doing like so much to get this show going, and I'm so, and like that's really inspiring for me to see that. And I've had moments where I was like, yeah, the pressure is there, but I really try to reduce that instinct and feeling and just be like, this is something that we are all doing together, and since it's personal, I just want to focus on that and not worry about it being any kind of pressure. Just being like, I want to just be here with Hannah and see where she wants to take it and ride that wave that she's riding and invest as much as I can in that. And again, whenever like the hints of like the pressure is higher for this personal reason, I really try to reduce and just bring it back to like, we're here together. And I'm very honored that she's like asked me and to dance with these fellow dancers and be with these musicians. And so pretty much like I've been more in a state of just enjoyment.
Is dance, is art, is performance, is it inherently political by its nature?
I think it totally can be, just like anything. Like, it's interesting because anything can be politically viewed, I guess, even if it's unintentional. And that's why, it's like the whole thing about performance and art is that somehow, even if it's a personal story, just from like whoever's creating it, their background, the way they look, what they're wearing, how they're moving, songs they're using, people can always go into those and pick it apart in many ways. And I do think politics is a big one because it's always on people's minds. Personally, I'm like, I'm not too political, right? I'm getting more into it, but it's always on your mind for some reason, because it's a weird thing that is always around and it's always going to be around, it seems like, and it's been around forever and ever and ever, and it's a very clear establishment that is like sometimes great, sometimes very questionable and very like, who knows how it all came to be. So I feel like politics is always in the air for stuff. There's always room to see it in the political view, I think.
this piece is set to rock music.
Yes.
And you mentioned musician, and the composer is Greg Harrison.
Yeah.
In terms of the process of putting everything together, how closely did you and the rest of the dancers work with Greg and the other musicians? What was that relationship like between dancer and music?
In this process, a lot of the communication I actually think came from Hannah, because Hannah and Greg worked very closely together before the musicians even came into the studio, and they had a plan. And so there was a part of us that was a little bit more just like waiting to see what would happen. And when they came in, it was like a little bit hectic the first couple of rehearsals, because Greg was telling me that he was kind of almost composing it live in the rehearsals, and we were working on the dance, so they were playing loud music while we're trying to work on our dancing. So there was a little bit at first of a interesting collision, I would say, of how we were working together. But then after a while, after like that first week of working with them, we ran it. It was obviously rough. Stuff happened. There was feelings. There was like interest. There was questions coming in my mind, I felt. And so we took the weekend, and then we had another week to really refine it. And I just found the past week a very awesome time with the musicians. I really got to know them. They changed the music. They always add something each time now when we run it, which like just personally gets me in a really awesome way of moving. And like they add instruments or sounds that I honestly say, like, sometimes they add sounds that I've never heard before, and it's like crazy and awesome. And then being able to see them see me during the show, like, because there's a lot of moments where in the performance where we get to like just observe the rooms, observe the person who's dancing, and then going and seeing the band and see them smile at me as they're playing an instrument that's pushing me forward, and seeing their movement with the sound and then how it comes into my body and how it's like shooting out of me, like, it's really beautiful. And being able to like after the runs go over to them and just say like awesome job, give them hugs, give them props, all that great stuff, like they're super amazing and nice people, and I'm so happy they're there and they add so much like to the performance. It definitely adds a beautiful element.
Does it make the process, the performance more personal, do you think? The fact that you're right there in the room with them, as opposed to like, okay, let's go over a choreograph, and then let's go over
absolutely music, you know? Yeah, absolutely, because it's there, it's live, it's like you see, again, like I was saying, you see them make the sound as you're dancing to it, and it just like makes you more connected with the whole picture. Because like, again, I'm so used to dancing with love with just like kind of recordings, which are always great. Like, I love recordings, especially with songs I really like that really get me going. Like, it's great to listen to recordings, but just having someone who not only is playing the live music, but created, like, Greg composed it all, and he taught all of the fellow band members, and they're all experimenting with it and adding their own elements to it, and really like seeing them work together adds so much to how we're working with them. I find just seeing how they click and how their different personalities like come together, it makes it very, very, very like, yeah, I'd say pretty personal, just because it's a really nice element to see live that you don't get. It's a nice little option that you get to experience, which you don't experience all the time.
And the piece is being performed in a church.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, church, when you think of church, you think of big, you know, choral music, and yet you don't necessarily think of you know, dance and rock. But, how important is the space, any performance space, to the actual piece you're putting on?
I think it's super, super important, because it's like, again, like you can, the space I think is already creating a buzz, because there's never been a show in there, and so it already adds an element of unexpectedness, because especially in Toronto you have the venues that you go and you watch your dance shows at. So having it at a whole different venue just adds so much more curiosity and questions to how it's going to be used, and is it going to be used properly, or how is it going to affect the whole show. And I think the concept of location for me is super, super important. And I think atmosphere is everything for anything you do. Like, to create a space, to create a space that your work fits in is like super important, and it can really like drive the work further if you get it all right, and like you get the atmosphere and you get the people who come to see it in that headspace already to this like, okay, yeah, we're here watching a dance show, but it's not in a traditional dance venue. That already adds this element of like, hey, this is a different type of show right now. And then seeing how the show will play out in this space will also add so much more kind of input and different experiences through watching the show.
You know, churches are known for great acoustics.
Yeah.
But what do you think this church and this space, what does it add to specifically your show, and how do you think it can enhance the story that you're trying to tell?
Interesting. I'm going to be honest, I actually haven't seen the space yet. So, but I've heard and I've seen pictures of it. And I think in the way of enhancing is that since it's not on a stage, for one, there's going to be people who are closer. And that element alone, like seeing us a little bit closer and not being super far away, adds a whole other thing, because you get to really see like us,
yeah.
And we get to really see the audience, which is something I'm very like, that's why I'm really excited to start performing it actually, because I feel like it's, and seeing the reactions of the people in the space, because I feel like it's going to be a whole new experience and a whole new story from having them so close and being inviting them in with us, instead of, because sometimes in like stages they're so far, so it's very much there's that line where it's like, we're here, you're there, you're watching us, we don't need to see you because you're in the dark. But I feel like here, like, we'll be able to see them and invite them in and see how that feels, and see how that experience, again, it's talking about experience, can enhance the experience or the story on a more like closer personal level than just seeing them from a super far.
Do you, as a performer, do you enjoy that sense of intimacy?
Personally, yes. I personally love the sense of intimacy. Oh my god. I'm just gonna forget the word.
Intimacy.
Intimacy! Because in dance, from far, it's hard to see some stuff. And I find when you're really close and you're intimate, you can see just little details in the face, in the sweat, and the way they're moving and their focus, that just like really brings you into it. And I love intimate spaces. Like, just like a room like what we're in right now is like awesome. Like, it's just, it's close, it's cozy, you get a different experience just because like you get to see, just get personally get to see more of what's going on. And I think it's great because the best performances is when I'm like, when I watch is when I'm in an audience and I see the dancers see me, and it really pulls me in, and then they go on continue, but they've got me in that moment. Like, I find that super, super beautiful. Like, knowing that the performers saw me seeing them, and then like, it's like a weird feeling that I can't, like, it's just an amazing feeling, and I love that part of performance. That intimacy that you can get from just even being closer, it's great.
You have 4 days between when Resonance ends and when GH5 goes up.
Yeah.
That's a very short turnover.
Oh yeah.
Do you get any break at all, or do you just have to go straight into the next one?
I get Sunday off and then on to the next.
How is that for you as a performer? Like, you're just like, all right, come with that. Okay, gotta move on.
That's the thing about dance, I think. Or again, I don't know from personal experience. I don't know how other art forms work. But from dance, it's very much like that. It's very much like you I'm talk about me and Han, I've been talking to Hannah about the resonance for like years, and she's had this idea for years, and then we started rehearsing this summer, and then we got to it again, I think 4 or 3 weeks ago, and it's like, hey, this is actually it. We have 4 weeks. We're gonna do it, and then it's gonna pause for a second, and we're gonna go to a new thing. And it's kind of crazy to think about. Like, I don't know, as an artist, like, you talk and you, like, experience and you do it for so long. You, like, build it up for a long, long time. And then it happens. And then it's like, okay, that happened. And all that happened at that moment. And now I have another job to do and I'm going to go do that job. It's really interesting. And it's, like, I think it's something you just have to get, you get used to, because it's just, it's kind of normal. Again, I'm in a fortunate, very fortunate place where I get to work with Toronto Dance Theatre, so I get to perform a lot, and I get to work on a piece for more, for a consistent amount of time. But again, since you perform a lot, it's like you do that, that piece, that piece, the new mindset, that piece, which is really interesting. And it's totally, totally awesome, because it's new, but again, you never... Like, the whole definition of resonance, you always keep the echo going. It's just in a different way. So all the stuff I've learned from resonance and, like, that experience of performing the intimate setting in this Hannah Keel piece, I can take to the Meridian Hall in a more grander kind of, like, a theater kind of thing, and see how that intimacy can play into this bigger theater. And experiencing that in a different way too, and seeing how that feels.
GH5 Panara is a reimagining of Glass Houses by Christopher House. Is that a piece you were familiar with before?
Glass Houses or GH5 Panara?
The original.
Glass Houses.
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, is that a piece you were familiar with before embarking on this project?
On GH5.0.
Yes.
So basically, yeah, 2 years ago we did the Glass Fields project, where a bunch of Toronto choreographers came and they made their own kind of, they made a piece inspired by the Glass Houses. And so on that show, I got to learn the actual original Glass Houses, as well as creating a new inspiration with Hannah Keel. So that was really interesting, being able to... I didn't see the piece before that, though. I remember just before starting, we saw a video. And yeah, that piece was, like, something I've never done before. It was fast, it was physical, it was very, very for that time. And it was pretty insane. But also, again, getting to learn that piece and then... create a piece inspired by it was really interesting, and seeing how, like, someone takes it apart. And I remember Hannah saying, like, she pretty much made her version of Glass Houses, and, like, I totally get that, because again, I know Hannah's way of working, and so I know that, like, if she was to make a Glass Houses, like, that GH5.0 would be it.
Right.
It would be that version of, like, her version of her movement in this very fast way that keeps going, and then these duets that she will create in these ways that the she would want to see. So it's very interesting, and I really, like, I got that completely, like, when the whole process was done. I was like, yeah, that's, yep, that makes sense. That made sense. GH5.0 in relation to Glass Houses for me.
And you actually get to work with your roommate, Devin Snell. Mm-hmm. in that. What is that experience like, you know, working with somebody in a professional capacity who you already have such a close personal relationship with?
It's interesting. And again, like, it's definitely diff, because I think there's people who, again, who work with their friends. But again, me and Devin's relationship is very, I don't know how to explain it, but it's very, it's nice, because we are close friends who work together, but we have, again, such a nice way of reading each other's energies. And so I know I'm comfortable about talking to him about anything, and I know that, like, seeing him in rehearsals is, like, a really good, like, boost for me, just to have, like, a really close friend in the room with me, even if we're not talking in the moment or working there, just having that that comfort of energy in the room is also super nice, and having that also push me and inspire me, and like just being able to like at the breaks talk to him about the work or just joke around about whatever. Like, it's like a nice energy to have. Or when we have problems, we can always talk to each other and we can get each other's issues, because a lot of times in Toronto dance scenes, it's like it's hard to understand the other scenes. So if I if I talk about it to anyone else, they wouldn't really, they can understand, but they can also, it's hard to understand because you're not there. So having someone to talk to who's there, who gets it, who's seen and experienced the same things with me, it's like awesome, because it's a really great way to like just process work with someone else, with a close friend. I think it's a really interesting way.
The evening of October 6th, when everything is over,
yeah,
what are you gonna do to celebrate the closing of two shows?
Probably go to a bar, have one beer, and then go to work the next day, I guess.
Fair.
Yeah, but no, I'm excited. I'm really, it's gonna be an interesting time. I'm honestly very, very excited. I'm already, like, I don't know why I was talking to people on Friday being like, I'm really interested to see how I feel on Saturday night when Resonance closes. I feel like, I don't know why, it's going to be a really interesting moment, that moment. I have a hunch about it. And so we'll see. And then again, with the closing of Glass Houses, it's interesting because, like, it's interesting also how being part of a big festival. So that's going to be a whole different thing too, and seeing how that happens, because like since our show is done, there's still another program after that, so it'll be nice to go and see the other programs and just enjoy watching the festival and seeing how that goes. But I think it'll be great, honestly,
because you're one of something like 15 pieces, or I think,
yeah, in, I think so,
in,
yeah,
in,
yeah,
the,
yeah,
festival. Has it sunk in that you're just being a part of something this big and what it means to you as an artist and as a performer?
I always, again, yeah, related to being part of this festival, but just in general, thinking about being an artist in Toronto, I always get moments of feeling grateful and really happy just from the people I meet through purely doing what I love to do, which is dancing. Just getting to meet, like, again, I get to meet all of these artists, dancers, musicians, visual artists, just different people in general. Like, it's just super, and again, like being able to do this festival where I'll probably meet some other people from around North America and the world. Like, it's just like, it's great. It's really awesome to be able to just like experience different people and meet different people through an art form that I really enjoy doing. And it's, yeah, it's great. I always like get moments of like chills of happiness, and I'm like, oh my god, I can't believe this is like my job. It's amazing.
Resonance opens in 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Has it, you know, sunk in yet that, you know, all this hard work that you've put in, everything for both shows, everything starts on Thursday,
yeah. Yesterday, Friday, when we finished that run and we were going into the tech week, like, I definitely felt something. Something was happening. Something is going to happen next week, and it's going to be a pretty exciting experience to see how people react, to just put out the work and see how people take it. And just, again, I'm just really excited to perform it. I feel like the performance of it is going to really, 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 like, bring a lot of light to, like, my vision, to my perspective of the piece, and I think the piece itself.
Do you know, as a performer, like, either in a rehearsal or a performance, when you've really nailed it? Like, you get off stage and you're just like, I killed it tonight.
Yeah, you definitely can sense it. You definitely can feel it. And again, for me, it's just when I know I've been like, when that energy is just right with everyone in the room who you're performing with, and again, the audience energy, like, it's all comes into play, and then, like, there's those moments that you're like, everything just somehow clicked tonight, and it felt great, and, like, it's just, you come off, and you're just like, that was fucking great, like, I feel happy, like, that was, I have nothing bad to say about that, like, there's probably some notes, but I felt great about what we did tonight, so yeah, it's always great.
Well, the show Resonance runs from September 26th to 28th at the St. Cyril and Methody Macedonian Bulgarian Eastern Orthodox Church.
That's a mouthful right there, eh?
And then GH 5.0 is up as part of the Fall for Dance Arts Festival at the Meridian Hall from October 2nd to 6th.
Mm-hmm.
Roberto Soria, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
That was my conversation with dancer Roberto Soria. Resonance runs from September 26th to 28th at the St. Cyril and Methody Macedonian Bulgarian Eastern Orthodox Church. Now, as a special preview of Sunday's episode, Roberto is joined by his roommate and fellow dancer, Devin Snell, who is also in Fall for Dance North's GH 5.0, directed by Hannah Keel.
Well, Roberto's joined us as well for a little bonus coverage. You two are roommates and are both working in the same piece, and Roberto, you're also in another piece.
Yeah.
What's that like for you in terms of the crossover between the personal and the professional?
Wow. I personally feel like, even though, like, you go to, like, I come to the company and I live, like, it's a professional job, I think, like, working in dance or the arts, you kind of bring so much to, like, your job, that, like, even though it's a professional job, I don't feel like I'm a different person. Like, I don't come into the studio and I'm, like, one person, and then I come out of the studio another person. So I feel like the person that, like, Roberto gets to see when we're at home, or, like, we're just hanging out, I think it's, like, pretty much the same person when we're in the studio. I might not do certain stuff because I'm in a professional setting, but, like, yeah, I think working with your friend or your best friend is also good, just because in certain situations, like, you have someone to talk to, mm-hmm. or, like, vent to, or, mm-hmm. like, if a situation happens, they get you. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's nice to also, like, me and Devin have a very interesting friendship in a way where, like, we can read each other's energies very well. So we can tell when maybe it's time to not, like, chip in or ask the questions or see, like, if they're bothered right now, because you can kind of read the energy and you can see when it's a good time to maybe talk to them or, like, leave them be. But that being said, like Devin said, you kind of bring in this, and, like, in art, you bring yourself to the room as much as you can. And so it's really nice to be able to go to rehearsals and know who I'm with in a very personal level, especially, again, like, we can just connect on a level like that, and we can take it home and we can shut it off, or can continue talking about maybe the work we're doing or, like, questions we have, and so it can further develop. But then it's also, like, we can completely just, like, talk about other stuff and, like, other interests that we share and other stuff like that.
Is it hard not to bring your work home with you, or are you...
I think it's hard, yeah. It's hard, because, like, once you're... because we work so, like, 10 to 6 some days, so, like, it's hard, especially when we get straight home, especially if something's happened, or, like, we're really interested in something that happened in the day. Like, it's good to actually just talk about it when we're first there, while we're, like, putting our bags away and making some food and, like, kind of winding down. I think it's usually common to pretty much just talk about stuff that happened during the day, or, like, things that were great, things that could be improved on, and all that kind of stuff. So it's nice, though. It's nice to, like, again, have someone who you can do that with, who will completely understand it when you go home, because then you're not kind of bottling it up. It's nice to actually talk about it and discuss some things with a fellow company member / roommate. It's nice.
Yeah. And I also think, like, sometimes the days are long. If it's, like, a performance day, you're kind of, like, you keep on going and going and going. So sometimes you don't, like, the only time where it eventually hits you or the time that you get to reflect is, like, after the day is done. Mm. And, like, when you're at home just sitting at that table, like, tired, like, eating your food, like, everything kind of, like, what was bottled up comes out.
Yeah.
And I feel like if, you know, for other people that maybe don't room with someone who, like, works with them or who's, like, shares the same, like, passion, like, you can explain it to them or talk to it, but, like, they're not gonna maybe get it on the same level, even though they can give you very, like, helpful, yeah, like, opinions about it. So I think, like, that's one good thing about being a roommate is, like, and, you know, being roommates since we were, like, in school and the company, we kind of, like, get each other on, you know, a deeper level. So, like,
yeah,
we can go home and we can talk about it, and, like, it can sometimes, like, marinate overnight, and then when you get, you know, go to work the next day,
mm-hmm,
like, you can just feel better about the piece or feel better,
mm-hmm,
about, like, what you did yesterday if you were confused. So I think it, like, you know, it helps.
So does it make it easier to, think, give each other feedback or criticism, given that you're A, both answers and both in the same piece?
I don't know. For me, it's interesting to give Devin, like, I think the way we give each other feedback is pretty much just, like, we're continuing developing and working, and, like, saying, like, seeing how we can just keep the thing going. I feel usually pretty comfortable talking to him about, like, anything, though, about especially, like, feedback and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think, yeah, feedback is also, like, one of those, like, really, I guess, like, gray areas, because I feel like usually when I give feedback, it's, like, it's questions that I have for myself that I'm trying to answer. So sometimes, like, the feedback that I'm giving to someone, like, sometimes, like, I don't notice, but it has nothing to really do with what they were doing or what I think they, like, might get out of it or what they should change. It's just, like, me, like, confused about something I'm doing, and I'm trying to answer my own questions and my own thoughts through watching this person, because half the time, like, I don't see what I'm doing and I can't really see what I'm doing. So, like, you don't really see it, like, you know, the exercise or the task play out until you see another body do it. So I feel like feedback, but I think we're very comfortable with talking to each other. But I think usually when we give feedback, it's less of like a, I have feedback, you did this, like, mm-hmm, I think it's more like a conversation, like, let's talk about this, because then,
yeah,
if I hear maybe, like, where he's coming from, it might change something that I thought that he was doing, and then maybe the thing that I was going to tell him isn't relevant at that moment, because I'm like, you know, he's got it, he's already thinking about it, like, he already answered my question before I could even ask it.
You, Devin, you get to see him perform because he's in residence, but
yeah,
you're only the one show. Do you feel bad that you only get to see him in a separate show this
time?
I
always feel sad. I always loved watching Devin perform, but also, like, during some shows in the company, like, there's programs where we're in separate pieces, so I do get to see him kind of, like, perform in these other kind of ways, but yeah, no. It'd be nice to see him perform.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm, like, always excited to see, I guess, like, my friends perform in pieces, other pieces in the company or outside the company.
Yeah.
Just because it's also interesting to see, you know, people close to you do other people's work and just dance with, also, like, and, like, I guess, like, connect with other dancers, because he'll be dancing with other dancers that, like, I haven't danced with before, and sometimes it's nice just to, you know, be part of the audience and, like,
mm-hmm,
have, like, the stress not on you, and just to, like, enjoy a show. And if you get to enjoy a show with, like, your friends in it, like, that's a plus.
Well, all right, thanks, gang.
And that was Roberto Soria, joined by Devin Snell. Devin is Sunday's guest on the podcast, talking about his experience with Fall for Dance North and GH 5.0. That does it for me today. My thanks to Roberto and Devin. I will see you next time. Bye for now.
I just like to have a lot of sex.